Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special and the message and song. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 4. Acts in chapter 4. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. The life of the Apostle Peter. And we've seen Peter coming to know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, and then called to be one of the apostles, one of the disciples by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we went through the Gospels, we were able to study through Peter's eyes his discipleship. And Peter was not always an easy person to disciple. And the Lord had to rebuke him a few different times, and we were able to get through all of that. But now we find here in the book of Acts, which is the apostolic age now, as Jesus is ascended up to heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. And he'll be there throughout this entire church age until he comes to call the church up to the rapture. And but Peter is now doing what Jesus discipled him to do. And I trust it's been a blessing just seeing things through the eyes of Peter, experiencing what God has recorded for us as we study the life of the Apostle Peter. And so it's just a unique way of studying the Word of God and looking at it as we have go through Bible characters. But so now he's doing the work that God's called him to do. And things are going good. I mean, he's already performed the miracle of healing. He has been able to preach a couple times now at Pentecost and seen the excitement of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell within the lives of believers. And it's just been an exciting time for Peter and the other apostles, but we're looking at it through Peter's eyes. But then we seen last week in chapter 4, the last message was verses 1 through 4 when the opposition returned. Praise the Lord when you're on the mountaintops. Praise the Lord when it seems like, man, I'm able to do a lot. I'm getting a lot done. I'm serving the Lord, seeing a lot of great things take place. Praise the Lord, because there's always going to be opposition. We're going to have to go through some valleys. We're going to battle COVIDs. We're going to battle different things in life. It's just part of the Christian life. And we have to be ready and willing to battle whatever it is that God allows to come into our lives. He has a purpose for it. And so you hold on to the promises that are given to us as we go through some of the oppositions and we go through some of the trials and the battles. And hold on and know what you know. You hear me say that quite often because that's so very true for the Christian. Once you learn something, you don't forget it. Know what you know, and that'll help you. God allows you to learn it so that you can use it to get through some of the struggles of life. And so Peter's the same way. Things are going along. And then the opposition returned. And this was the same ones who turned the people against Jesus and cried out to crucify him just 8 weeks earlier. The very same religious leaders. Now they're hearing of what is taking place with Peter and the disciples. And so they come out, and the opposition, Peter's having to face the same opposition now that Jesus himself faced when he was crucified. And so they arrest Peter and John and put them in a holding cell, and that's where we're at tonight. Okay, so they're going to call them back out and going to ask him some questions, and Peter's going to answer, and there's a whole lot here to learn and be blessed by. And so Acts chapter 4, if you will, look with me down to verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 12. That's what we're studying here tonight. Peter addresses the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the supreme court of the Jews at this particular time. And they were the ruling factor, as they were under Roman authority, but they were the Supreme Court of the Jews. They got to make those decisions. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll be reading verse 5 down to verse 12. So all of you at home, stand with us. Act like you're right here in the midst. And praise the Lord for a good crowd here tonight, but yet there's still room and there's still distancing room for you if you'd like to come. but don't want to pressure anybody, but there's nothing like being assembled together in the church, in the house of the Lord. And so all of us here, and then you at home, and you in the gym as well, let's read together and receive what God has for us here tonight. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. It came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you tonight, what a blessing it is to have the opportunity, privilege to be in church, to be assembled here in this auditorium as well as at home via the live stream and in the gymnasium, just coming together to study the word that you have preserved for us and opening up our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for each and every one of us individually and collectively as a Lighthouse Baptist Church. So I pray that you'd help each one just to put everything else out of their hearts and minds and to be open to what you have for them through this study tonight. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So Peter here, he addresses this Sanhedrin. Now there's more here than the Bible records all of them, but they're established positions over the children of God, over Israel. And Peter acknowledges that, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes," then it mentions some others there concerning Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander. Don't know for sure who these two are, but again, they're there as counsel for the Sanhedrin. They're there to question Peter. They're there to figure out what's going on with Peter and John and these disciples of Christ. And so they all come out once again. And these are the established positions. But like with Jesus, they pretend to be following Old Testament law. And somewhat they are, but they're not following all the Old Testament law. If you will, go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. You know, when they brought Jesus and questioned him, they were pretending to be following Old Testament law. And they pick and choose what chapters, and they pick and choose what parts of the law that they wanted to look to. And yet Jesus tried to help them to see all of the truth of the Old Testament law. He tried to help them to understand that he was the one that was fulfilling the Old Testament law. But they did not want to believe that. They did not want to listen to that. And if you look to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, this is part of what they were to continue to do in the Old Testament. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, and whereof he spake unto thee, saying, he's using this to get you to do this, is what he's saying. It comes to pass, and then he uses this to say, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you. Meaning he's going to allow this to happen to see what you'll do with it. The Lord God your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So they wanted to use this, and that they were, when they addressed Jesus, of somebody that was no doubt showed proof of signs and wonders, but was trying to lead them away from the God of Israel, which was not the case. He was not trying to present a new God to them. He was revealing to them the God of the Old Testament. He was revealing to them exactly what the Old Testament prophecies were all about and the fulfillment. They did not want to listen to that part of it. They wanted to justify what they did with Jesus by saying he's trying to lead us opposite Old Testament law. And because we have this law, then we are justified into taking his life. Now, they had done that with Jesus, and now they're trying to do that with Peter and John and the apostles during this apostolic age. So they're in it pretending to be following Old Testament law, but at the same time, turning away from other scriptures related to the Messiah and the New Testament church age. And that continues on even today. You see, God does not allow anyone to pick and choose what scriptures to obey, what scriptures to follow, and what scriptures to reject. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to allow one person to get by with something and allow them to take a direction that they want to go. No, he has given to all of us the very same scriptures. And we are to follow after the whole counsel of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I love this because this is something Peter had been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something during the apostolic age that he's seen that was taking place, that the religious rulers, they wanted to pick and choose what laws they wanted to follow, and then to establish whatever other laws that would better serve them. And Peter writes here in 2 Peter chapter 1, chapter 1, and if you look there in verse 19, Peter writes, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Don't have to just go by the word of a prophet. because he was presenting to them, now we have the scriptures to look to. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You don't get to choose, pick and choose what you want to receive and what you want to reject, and you don't get to interpret it the way that you want to interpret it. There is one interpretation of the Word of God, and it is for all of us to learn and to follow after. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men and religion continues to do that in this 21st century. We want to, it's all right, we can adopt this part of Christianity into our life, and we can use this, but when it comes to another area that I don't want to apply, then I want to reject that. And a lot of times, because you need to have your conscience eased up and the conviction overrid, you want to go to a church, not a true church, if they're not preaching the full gospel and they're not preaching the entirety of the Word of God, but you want to go to a church that believes the way that you believe. You go to a church that has set aside these scriptures and they're only picking and choosing what scriptures they want to live by. Well, we'll keep the ones on tithing. We'll keep the ones on forsaking the assembly. We'll keep the ones on being able to show respect for the leadership of the church, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. But when it comes to holiness, when it comes to standards, when it comes to the rest of the scriptures, and well, that's not for the 21st century. And so I want to find a church and a leader who will give an account for not preaching the whole counsel of God's word that will make me feel good about living the way I want to live and not necessarily according to the word of God. Amen? See, that's what they're doing. That's what they did with Jesus and trying to... They knew that he was not worthy. He had not done anything worthy of death. But they're looking back and they're claiming that, well, he is bringing in false doctrine and he's not in agreement with the Old Testament. He's trying to lead us in a wrong direction. And so crucify him. Because they didn't want to listen to the truth that he had to tell them. He had fulfilled all the scriptures concerning the Messiah. They had seen him raise the dead. They had heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son." But they didn't want to accept that because their religion would have been threatened. Their lifestyle, their way of living. Men and religion continue, but it's not acceptable with God. Can I tell you that God says what he means and he means what he said and he's preserved it for us so that we are all going to give an account for it. Whether you have believed it or not, you'll give an account for it. You've had opportunity to know the truth because God has made it available to us. He has preserved it. Get to that place where we ought to just want to follow the whole counsel of God. So Peter understood that. Peter wrote this. I mean, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and he wrote 2 Peter chapter 1 under the inspiration of God. And so the very same Peter now has been put in jail, and they're coming out, and he knows that they just held on to certain scriptures and certain Old Testament law to crucify Christ, and now they're going to try to do the very same thing, possibly, to Peter, to stop this Jesus movement. That's what's going on. Verse 7, go back with me to our text here tonight. So now they've been imprisoned. Now they come back together, this entire Sanhedrin, and maybe some others that weren't there, that were there when they judged and caused the crowd to cry, "Crucify Christ." In verse 7 it says this, "And when they had set them in the midst..." Now they get all this, I mean, this group of authorities, the elders, all the lawgivers, all those that are supposed to know the Old Testament, the scribes. They have them all there, and they surround this one area, and they said, "Bring them into the midst." And so Peter and John come out, and they're surrounded by all of these authority figures, all of them scrounging. I mean, you almost see it when the Senate and the House meet, you know, they got them all surrounded. Got the one guy sitting there with they just scrounging, just looking at them mean and nasty, and just can't wait to try to confuse them and ask questions. And this would have been a lot worse than that. But the Bible says when they set them in the midst, they're trying to intimidate them. Because they ask a question that they already know the answer to see if they'll answer that way. Or will they be intimidated and cower to this body of rulers and ask for forgiveness? Plead for their lives. Because they know that they had crucified Christ. And you're going to be next if you don't answer the way we want you to answer. Are you following me? I mean, that's the Bible. This is what we're looking at. I think when you read the Bible, put yourself into it. Know what's going on here. This is exactly what's taking place. In an attempt to intimidate, they ask a question that they already knew the answer to, because in chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, when they heard what had happened and they were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection of the dead. That's why they had arrested them. By what power or by what name have you done this? You think they'd killed somebody. Peter said, "If we this day be examined by the good deed done," there's a man that was born lame and now he's walking, and you're trying to intimidate us for setting this man free and presenting him whole, not only whole physically, but he was whole spiritually. Not only did he get healed physically, he got salvation. And he's presenting that his love for Jesus Christ, and he is giving Jesus all the glory, and that's what's taking place. They're trying to intimidate. Can I tell you that's an evil method? If you're not careful, Satan will try to intimidate you, and people will try to intimidate you to cower down from what the Bible teaches. You better not say that if it's politically incorrect. If it's not something that everyone wants you to say, you better not take that side of things. You better not take that kind of stand against it. Or you're going to be persecuted by society. Well, we're seeing a lot of this today. Can I tell you, as a born-again believer, we should never allow anyone to intimidate us to turn away from a stand that is according to the Bible. Even when other religious groups embrace it. And sometimes even the very same denomination that you find yourself a part of, a Baptist church. Wouldn't you think that if you hold on to the name Baptist, then you're going to hold on to Baptistic doctrine? You're going to hold on to the Bible because the Bible makes me Baptist. In my mind, being a Baptist is somebody that just simply believes the Word of God and wants to apply it to my life. The Baptists have always been known as Bible thumpers, if you will. And yet today we find that so many are cowering down to the desires of the people. First of all, don't preach on convictions and standards and separation and soul winning. Don't preach on any of that. And don't say anything about the things that's going to cause us to have social distaste. It's not politically correct to say that or to preach against this or to preach against that sin. And I'm thinking, if it's Bible, it's Bible. And I'm not preaching Old Testament as the law today. No, Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament law. It was there, and the principles of the Old Testament law are still in New Testament Christianity. I am for the principles of the Old Testament. And I study that and I understand that. When it comes to living by the very letter of the law of the Old Testament, no, Jesus has revealed that to us and given us an application for New Testament Christianity. But if it's part of his teaching, it's part of New Testament Christianity, hold on to it. Don't allow anyone to intimidate you to turn away from a biblical stand, from a biblical truth. So Peter's response, go back there with me. Then Peter, and this part right here underlined, filled with the Holy Ghost. Because Peter's thinking, I just spent a night in jail, and you had no right to arrest me. Peter's thinking, false imprisonment. And he could have shouted out, I protest this. What do you mean, put me in prison? We did nothing wrong. Peter, no doubt, had a right to be angry. Peter had every right to stand in against these leaders. False imprisonment. Fake leaders. You claim to be leaders of Israel. You claim to know the Bible. You claim to know the Word of God, and you're fake leaders. Yeah. But he didn't say just whatever popped into his mind. And sometimes I think we'd be better off not to say everything that pops into our minds. But I still think we need to call it what it is. But I think we can call it what it is under the leading of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Spirit of God. When we're dealing with things in our lives, if you're saved, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about allowing Christ to work through me. And so I don't need to say what I want to say. As a pastor, I learned that a long, long time ago. Been pastoring in the ministry for 40 years. In the beginning, I wanted to say what I wanted to say. It got me in a lot of trouble with church members and everyone else. And sometimes I felt like I'm the only one that's pulling for this marriage to work. And I get parents on both sides that are wanting a divorce. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I'm going to do everything I can do to help keep these two young people together in this marriage. And they get upset with me. And they leave the church because I wanted to try to help them to stay married. That one I still don't understand. I've seen so many times through the years, I mean, I'm just following the scriptures, but the people really don't want to follow the scriptures. They want you to bless them in their divorce. I can't do that. They want you to bless them in a marriage that is not biblical, that's not within God's will. I can't do that. And you get upset, people get upset with me because I'm just following the Bible. They try to intimidate. Well, we just won't tithe. We'll leave the church. I'm sorry. If it's Bible, I'm not going to be persuaded to ask for God's blessings on something that I know He can't bless. We are to allow Christ to work through us. And sometimes that means bite your tongue. Because if you're going to respond in a fleshly manner, that's not what we need in Christianity. Galatians 2:20, and you know the verse, but let me read it to you real quick. Because Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I've got to let Christ live through me. That's my testimony. That's what I support. What I condone or what I stand against, I need to make sure it's Christ. I need to make sure that it's Bible, which is Christ, the Word. So Peter is dealing with this right now. But Jesus had prepared Peter. I love it. Matthew chapter 10, in the discipleship. Jesus knew what he would have to face as well as he knew and knows what we have to face in this 21st century. And Jesus prepared Peter, and in the very same way, when you read the Bible, Jesus is preparing you. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wow. Do we see things like that? Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's New Testament Christianity. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles, because God's going to hold them accountable. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Wow. What a great way of handling things. Wherever you find yourself, don't be thinking too much about what you have to say. Be focused on yielding to the Spirit of God to take a biblical stand. To be able to say what Christ would say if he were in that very same situation, because he is in that situation through you. And when they hear you, they should hear him. When they see you, they should see him. Because that's Christianity. Amen. That's Christianity. So Peter had been prepared for this encounter as he was being discipled. So go back with me. Everybody follow me tonight. All right, a lot here, but it's good stuff. And it's so applicable. It is so applicable because we all will face some of the very same things. And sometimes our worst persecution comes from other believers, other so-called religious people. Chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Peter would have been angry, but he would not sin. And it's all right to be, we ought to be angry with sin. We ought to be angry with those who claim to be Christian that are not living a Christian life. Who claim to be following after the laws of God, who are not following after the laws of God. The Bible says we can be angry, but sin not. Verse 9 and 10. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, you could tell he didn't think they should have been, and they should not have. That is not Bible. But if you're going to do this, by what means he was made whole, you want me to answer that, even though you already know what name I've used? But be it known unto you all, every one of you that's trying to intimidate me. He's looking around, all of them. They've got Peter in the middle. They're all around him. He's looking to all of you. Be it known. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God, who is higher than you in your positions, raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I hope you got the same blessing out of that I did. I love it. He would be angry, but he would not sin. But in not sinning, he would honor positions, but correct wrong thinking. I love that because I teach in the biblical communication, and you can use it in every relationship. But if you study biblical communications and you realize you should never attack the problem or the person, but you always attack the problem. A lot of times we attack people, and we don't need to attack people because every soul is a soul that Jesus died for. You don't help people by running them off. You don't help people by attacking them. You don't get the truth across to them. You don't help them to understand by attacking them. But you have to attack that which is hindering them from hearing the truth. You have to address that problem that is keeping them from salvation. You have to address that problem that is keeping them from living a life that is pleasing to God. And so even Peter, as he stands here, and these they mean them harm, and they're trying to intimidate them, and Peter does it in a right way. Yeah. He would honor the positions, but correct the wrong thinking. You crucified the Messiah. They didn't want to hear that, but it was true. They needed to hear that. You crucified the Messiah, the one that you did not want to believe was the Messiah, the one that you rejected as the Messiah. Be it known unto you that he's the one that made this man whole. And even he's the one that you crucified, but a higher authority than you said he's not going to stay dead. No matter how many times, if it would be possible to you to crucify him, God is going to raise him up every time. He's going to overcome whatever it is that you do, because he is a higher authority and a greater power than you are. Now, he's correcting their thinking. Once he has, in a right way, presented that to attack the problem, this is a problem. If they would just see Jesus as the Messiah, they would not be looking to persecute Peter. There's battles that we're fighting tonight. Jesus wants you to be Christ-like, to help people instead of running off, to help people instead of proving you're right. Verse 11. This is the stone. He's presenting who he just said was the one that healed impotent man. This is the stone which was set at naught of you who are trying to build your religion, who are trying to establish your own religion. And you're going after your own religion because you rejected the truth of the Bible. You rejected Christ. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which because God resurrected him, which has become the head of the corner. And you can't prevent that from happening because he's God. But he says, you builders. He's given them, honoring their positions. You have this position that you're trying to lead Israel in the direction you want to take them. You're the Sanhedrin. You are the officers. You are the leaders. You have positions, and you're trying to build something here, but you have been blinded to rejecting the Messiah. You set at naught means that you rejected. But God raised him and placed him as the head of the corner. So are we looking at Jesus instead of religion? Are we looking at the Bible instead of philosophies? Do we have wrong thinking because we're not basing it upon the scriptures? Jesus taught them this. This is what Peter would have been trying to present to them. But Psalms in chapter 118, and this is it, we're done. Psalms 118, I'm going to take you through a few scriptures here to help you to see what Peter was trying to get them to see, that Jesus is the head of the corner. If you would hear Psalms 118, verse 22. They had the Psalms. They had this to look to. Jesus pointed them to it. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. The stone which the builders refused. Write these down. I'm going to go a little faster here, but I want to read them to you. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 45. Matthew 21 and verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read the scriptures? And I wonder sometimes, have you ever really studied what the Bible teaches concerning that issue? Did you never read this in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, which would have been the Gentile nation, which I believe the United States is right there in prophecy. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them.
and they perceived right. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians, write these down. Let me, because it helps you to understand this. Ephesians in chapter 2, and what Peter was presenting, but Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, talking about the Gentiles who received Christ as Savior, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Yeah, amen. And then Peter writes one last one, 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. That's all believers, the New Testament church age. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You see, that's what Peter was getting across, and that's what we have to read and understand. I need to be Christ-like. I need the full counsel of the Word of God. I need to stand where Christ will stand, whether before or against, and let Christ work through me. Peter would end this tonight in verse 12, as we've read down to verse 12, by saying, neither is there salvation. He's trying to get them saved. God does not hate people. God loves people. The problem is most people are blinded to the truth. And we need to attack what's blinding them. And we need to present the truth. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I love it. I love it. Peter just wants to serve Jesus. And I trust that as a born-again believer, we just want to serve Jesus and help people to come to the very same understanding of the scriptures. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I love it. Book of Acts, apostolic age, transitional period of time in history when they were transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament, transitioning from the first covenant, the law, and the new covenant which Christ made. How we need to know and understand that covenant. You at home, as well as those in the gym and here in the auditorium, if God spoke to you tonight and there's decisions that need to be made. Maybe it's you've never seen Jesus as you need to see Jesus and trust him as your personal Savior. Maybe it is that you are saved, but you've not been allowing Christ to live through you as we all need to do. We haven't been answering the way Christ would have us to and dealing with things the way Christ would have us to. We've been dealing with it in our own power, in our own wit. Maybe tonight we just need to surrender. Father, we bow before you. I love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, God, as we have this verse of invitation, if there's decisions that need to be made, that we would make them this very night. get our lives on the track that you have laid out before us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.